ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the EY Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our co-host is, again, Christopher Hawkins, and we're going to be talking about marketing. Not digging into details here, we'll see what the conversation brings to us. So, hi, Chris.
Hey, Jane, how goes?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me again.
All right. So we wanted to start this episode with the process how you promote your episodes and then just diving into the topic of marketing.
Okay, let's do it. As far as my podcast goes, I'll take you all the way back to the beginning. The very first thing I did when I decided that I wanted to launch a podcast, once I figured out what the topic was going to be, I put up a landing page, and it was very simple. And it, you know, it may be out there on the internet somewhere still, I'm not sure. And all I said is, hey, I'm Chris. I'm a consulting guy who wants to become a product guy, and I'm going to podcast about the transition. If that sounds interesting, leave your email address here. And, you know, then I promoted it on Twitter. I emailed my friends, I emailed work colleagues, and just said, hey, spread the word. I don't know how much reach that got, but before my podcast launched, I had, I think, 60 names on my my email list. That's not much, but it beats the hell out of launching to crickets. And let me tell you, Jane, I took those 60 names and I squeezed them to get everything I could out of them. I sent them, you know, I sent emails when I was producing my first few episodes. Hey guys, it looks like Rob Walling's going to be my first guest. You know, podcast should be out on this date. I hope you're still interested. Podcast comes out. Hey guys, episode one is here. Go check it out. Go look it up on iTunes. Give me a review. Click on the 5 stars. You know, retweet it on Twitter. Do all this stuff. And I also asked Rob to share the episode with his networks too, which he did, which was nice. Which is one part of my strategy for every episode. So anybody out there who hasn't started a podcast yet or hasn't started whatever yet who would like to, I say go put up a landing page day one. That's the very first step in promoting something is letting people know about it before you've created it. Even if it's only 60 people, trust me, those 60 people will get you leverage that you will not have with zero people. Nowadays, my mailing list it's not huge. I think I've got 500-600 people on it, which again, some people are probably annoyed to hear me say that's not huge. If I only had 60 people and somebody said they had 600 and they downplayed it, that would be annoying and it would seem disingenuous. I'm not going to lie. Having a mailing list is a huge advantage, but it's really imperative to start building it early, which is why I say do it before you've got anything to offer.
Absolutely.
So these days, yeah. So
when you have 60 emails, that means that you're already playing it to the audience, and having zero people means that it's radio silence right there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You can seriously do like email campaigns and stuff. I launched my first book to 50 people and it was all right. I mean, it gained traction afterwards, but
right.
It was all right to have 50 people. It's better than zero.
Oh, yeah. And well, you know what the important thing is, and a lot of people overlook this, is if I had put that landing page up and a month had gone by and I had zero opt-ins, I wouldn't have done the podcast.
That's validation right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't have wasted my time. I would have realized, oh, well, there's not really any kind of interest in this. Now, granted, my audience is small. It's somewhere under 2,000, but, you know, so it's not one of the big monster podcasts. But I mean, that's a real audience. That is a worthy group of people. That is a worthy sized group of people. So, you know, it ended up being worth it. If I had gotten discouraged by those 60 names in the beginning, you know, you and I wouldn't be talking right now. I was so excited just to have those 60 names. I thought, oh my God, there's 60 people that want to hear about this. All right. And, you know, it was off to the races.
Actually, I would love to know how you actually got those 50 people, because getting those first 100 emails, it's excruciatingly hard.
Really? Okay. Everybody get ready to hate me. Actually, the first 60, first 100, those were easy because those were the ones that had no more than one degree of separation from me. Those were the ones where it was either people I knew who said, oh, you're doing that? Yeah, yeah, I want to hear that. Or people that they knew who were only 1 degree removed from me who said, oh, Chris, yeah, yeah, you've told me about that guy. Really? He's doing that? Sure, that sounds interesting. I'm going to sign up. The hard part is what I'm doing now. The hard part is finding subscriber number 601, subscriber number 602. Now is when I'm having a hard time. The first 100 or two, that wasn't so bad, really. I find that it gets harder as I go, which I didn't expect. I expected it to get easier as I went along. Now, that might be a sign that I'm doing something wrong, but it's definitely getting harder as I go.
It's interesting. I really have a lot to say on the topic because, you know, the speed of organic growth, like how many people sign up to your list like daily or such, it's right. really, it's small even if your leverage is very high. Sure. And it's a very, very painful process. Anyways, it's just that you get exposed much more and people just, you just get more organic traffic from different sources. And I guess there is no really direct recipe for it rather than, you know, pop up everywhere you can for 3 years or something like that.
Yeah, that may be true. That may be true. I expected, like you said, you know, you build up mass, you build up gravity as your listenership grows and as you have more material out there. And I did expect that that would increase leverage and it would just kind of give me more gravity as time went by. But that hasn't really happened. I'm wondering if there's a number at which that begins to happen. I really don't know, but I do know that getting subscriber number 601 is every bit as difficult as getting subscriber number 301 is. And that's probably been my biggest surprise, is that no matter how big I seem to build things up so far, no matter how many listens I get, I had a monster episode recently that got like 2,500 listens in the first week. But it doesn't seem to translate into momentum. There's never been a time where I could look at my promotional efforts and say, oh, okay, that's kind of rolling by itself now. I have to keep pushing on it. And the minute I stop pushing, it stops moving forward. That's been a huge surprise for me. And I'm really looking for ways to kind of counter that. 'Cause that's kind of a bummer. I can't lie.
Generally speaking, like I'm a little bit over 6,000 people right now.
Nice.
And it's been huge. One thing has been huge. It was a collaboration with Envision, because I grew over 2 years. I grew organically to something like 1,000 people through different, you know, hard sweat, pain, you know, tears, whatever.
Right.
It was tough. And then the free email course allowed like very big leverage to happen. And also we did webinars after that. And they just have a spectacular, huge marketing system and an email list of, you don't know the scale. You don't want to know, really.
Right.
And, you know, this was such a fruitful cooperation because I contributed nice content to them and they did what they could with their marketing system. And they keep doing that with the free course. And I know a lot of people are listening to this right now because they were attending one of my webinars or, you know, had the fundamental UI design course from Envision. And I'm eternally grateful for that. However, nice. Really, at that scale, it still doesn't, you know, do things by itself. So there is no like gold recipe. Among others, I can recommend good product hunt launches if you can pull off one. Like,
oh, yeah.
This involves, you know, organizing a lot of people support you. If you can do that, well, that would be amazing. That
right.
can bring you like a certain amount of subscribers like at once. And I have never mastered that, but you know, appearance on popular blogs can do good things, but it never moved the needle on me, for me, because I never appeared in really like TechCrunch kind of blogs.
Oh, sure. Sure. That makes
sense. What's your experience has been with big blogs?
Okay. This is a little bit embarrassing. I just recently was talking with somebody about this.
Tell us the juicy details. Yes.
Oh, God. It's so embarrassing. But you know what? Okay. Let's do it. This is Jane Portman's Confessional Hour featuring Christopher Hawkins. I believed for a long time, And Jane, this actually goes back to what we talked about in the last episode, when technical types and domain experts fall flat with a product. I actually thought that if I simply produced an excellent podcast with excellent material, people would start reaching out to me to invite me to speak on their podcasts. And do you know what I discovered? Go on.
No,
go on.
Or yes. No.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. What I discovered is there is nobody out there listening to hear how special you are and then hand you opportunities because you're so smart and special and you're such a great podcaster. I discovered that just like launching my business, just like launching my podcast and building an audience, just like literally everything else in life, if I wanted to be heard, if I wanted to appear places, it was up to me to put in the hustle. And yet for some weird reason, I thought that the regular rules didn't apply. Regular rules? Who heard of them? Not me. I'm just going to be excellent. And all of a sudden people are going to be, you know, knocking on my door. Didn't happen. So I've done, I think, 2 podcast interviews on, this is my third. You're the third podcast that I've been on in the last 3 years. That's it. Because I haven't done any outreach. I haven't taken responsibility for putting myself out there. I've been waiting for someone to come along and kind of scoop me up and say, okay, let's publicize you. And it's just not going to happen.
That's never going to happen. That's such a big, it's such a common misunderstanding.
Yes.
Like that, you know, glory is going to come to you and people are going to be asking you to talk at conferences and stuff. Like, because with conferences, it's exactly the same outreach game. It's not, you know, there is no such word in reach because right. It doesn't happen.
Nice. I like that.
It's like outreach. That.
Well, you know what's especially funny? And this is a little bit embarrassing, Jane. Think about this. For 3 years, I have been reaching out to people to invite them onto my podcast. I don't know any other way. I didn't go to a school of podcasting. I didn't work for a podcaster. I didn't learn the trade from a podcaster. So I simply assumed that everything else worked the way my podcast worked. I said, well, gosh, I'm reaching out to people who are putting out excellent content and apparently doing excellent work. But nobody's reaching out to me. Does that mean my work is not excellent enough? You know, and that really twisted me up for a while until I finally realized, oh, dummy, it's just like everything else I do. I need to put myself out there. So that is part of the plan for 2016. And I'm actually super, super thankful to be sitting here talking to you because this is a great way to start the year and kind of remind myself, oh, so this is what it feels like to be out there talking to people. Great. Let's do more of it.
I'm really happy that we are doing that because I've never thought that I'm, you know, taking such a strategic place with my interview invite here.
You know what? I hadn't thought of it either till we started talking about it. Up until now, I was just talking to my pal Jane. But you know what? Now I've got a plan.
You know, actually, I think inviting to the shows, it starts to happen, but it's like 5 or 10 levels above us, like currently.
Oh, sure.
For example, if you were Tim Ferriss show, I'm sure there will be some people reaching out to you.
Oh, but, yeah.
But, you know, you've been running your own podcast for a few years. You've invited over 30 people. But, you know, imagine the whole big internet audience and what is the chance of someone else rather than Rob Walling or Amy Hoy ending up on your list of 30 people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really low. And we should not be, you know, sad about it. It's just reality.
Yeah, I agree. Once I figured it out, I gave myself permission to not beat myself up about it. I said, okay, I spent, you know, 2.5 out of my 3 years podcasting not realizing why nobody was reaching out to me, because that's not what you do if you want to get heard. Matter of fact, I'm going to say this right now to your audience. If you want to get heard on a podcast, reach out to me, reach out to Jane, reach out to your favorite podcaster. Nobody's going to come out there to rescue you from obscurity. You've got to just get out there and put yourself forth. And it's scary and it's uncomfortable, but it's absolutely worth it.
When I launched my book to a list of 50 people, you know, I had I knew that it was not going to happen, like the big launch for sure.
Right.
But I still had those secret hopes that somehow my book was going to be so exciting and so amazing that people would just start appearing from nowhere and suddenly buying it, like in numbers of, let's say, 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever.
But right.
More than my audience. While what happens, in fact, is that you take your 50 people, multiply by a conversion rate of 2% or like 5 or 10% if you're lucky. And
right.
That's what you get, like 2-3 buys. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned Product Hunt earlier. I don't know if I mentioned this when we talked about my book, but I want to give a huge shout out to Product Hunt and the entire Product Hunt community because they made my book happen at launch. And without the exposure that my book got on Product Hunt, I don't think I would have sold, you know, more than a handful of copies. That was huge. And now they're doing podcasts. Oh, this is very exciting. Are you posting your episodes on Product Hunt Podcast, Jane?
No.
Why not?
I saw someone, my friend Heidi, posted one of them up there, but I just didn't find, you know, time to realize that this can be powerful. But I see like Justin Jackson is doing a really great job at marketing stuff
yeah.
and Product Hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's, I'm really impressed with Justin. I do 2 episodes a month. I promote them. I email my mailing list that we talked about earlier that I've painstakingly been building. I put up on Twitter if it's something that is appropriate to the community because I don't want to be a spammer. If it's a topic that's appropriate to, say, inbound.org or Designer News, I'll post it there. But I'm doing 2 a month, and that's all I can manage. And, I mean, Justin is just putting out so much material. It's really impressive to see. I don't know how he does it. I'm convinced that he's hired a staff and just isn't telling anybody. The guy's putting out a lot of material, and it's good stuff.
And I think he has 4 kids.
Yeah, that's three. Right. That's right.
But it would just be impossible for me.
Oh, yeah.
He's such an awesome, dedicated person. We met in person in Barcelona this year. It was amazing. Last year, it was.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's definitely I mentioned on a previous episode that some of the folks I interview, like you and like Rob Walling, I end up, you know, they're just – that's my new pal. And Justin is absolutely in that category. I've kept in touch with him. I'm a member of Product People Club. It's really impressive and instructive to watch that guy work. And he's one of the folks that's had a big influence on me as far as changing my understanding of what marketing is, how to promote things, why it's important, when to do it, all that kind of stuff. It's been a real education.
You know what? Actually, those 50 people that we keep talking about for my first book, they came from Justin Jackson's Product Club. Not precisely Product Club, but he had that, you know, campfire community going on.
Yeah, yeah.
GFDI one. And that's where, you know, I met my first peers. Because when you're in the middle of nowhere and you have zero connection, you have to start somewhere. And paying those, you know, $10 per month for the access for that campfire chat, it was gold at that time. I'm really happy and grateful, really.
Oh yeah, same thing for me. If not for my membership at Product People Club, I wouldn't have gotten my book published at all. They prodded me when I needed to be prodded. They hot seated me. I mean, I remember one particular conversation I had in the Slack channel there. I was really down about being able to get this done, and you know, I got hit with some just very direct questions, very, very direct questions that left me nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, no wiggle room. And I had to really face up to, what am I doing right this second? Am I doing something that's going to move my product forward right this second? And if not, why am I sitting here spending time bitching about it? You know, when I needed encouragement, I got encouragement. When I needed somebody to proofread it was good. It was, that's my people. Just like you said, that was one of your early ways of reaching out and kind of connecting to your peers. For me also, that was one of my ways of connecting with peers who actually knew something about launching products. It's been really valuable.
Right. So see, we all, you know, have our roots leading to Justin Jackson. Thank you, Justin. You're the
right?
best.
I know. He's like our granddaddy. It's
Even though he doesn't look like one, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, I've got 7 years on him. And yet, when I grow up, I want to be like Justin Jackson.
Great. So we talked about the way you promote your podcast. You do drop your links in the topical, you know, episodes. You mail it out to your list. Like, I don't do the first thing, but I certainly drip it out to my list, and that's actually the only thing I do personally.
Right.
Too bad. I should do some promotion. We do it on Twitter, right?
You know what? If you're only going to do one thing, promoting it to your people on your list, that's the one thing to do. Now, there's a chicken and the egg thing there. You and I, we both have established lists, and presumably there are enough people on those lists where if we produce a really compelling episode, our subscribers may forward it on to other people. Hey, listen to this. Chris just talked to Josh Duty or Justin Jackson or Ron Story Jr. You need to hear this. But for somebody who's
just, you think so? Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if somebody's just starting out, they don't have a list to promote to, right? And they're probably going, well, what the hell do I do? That's when you need to hit the streets. Put it up on Twitter. Put it up on Reddit. Put it up on Hacker News. Be warned, if you're thin-skinned, Hacker News will crap all over you, but you'll get a lot of traffic in exchange. Product Hunt, again, we were just talking about that. Product Hunt podcasts, I've been remiss. I've only posted a handful of episodes on Product Hunt, and I should be posting every episode there.
Can you even post your own episodes there?
Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. I am not – you know, there's kind of a stratified permission level over there at Product Hunt, and I don't completely understand it. I'm still a little bit bewildered by some of the rules, but that's cool because it clearly works. I have posted a couple of my own episodes, times when I have forgotten to post an episode. I think Justin posted one of my episodes once. A couple of other people posted episodes, not for me, but just – hey, dude, did you ever post that on Product Hunt? No, I didn't bother. Okay, well, I'm going to post it because it's awesome. Great, thank you. So yeah, you can post your own stuff, absolutely. Product Hunt doesn't really frown on that. Makers posting their own stuff on Product Hunt is allowed. It's just I find not particularly helpful because sometimes it won't make it to the front page. The places where if you're a new podcaster, you need to be careful are places like Reddit, inbound.org, Designer News. Not that they are difficult communities. They're incredibly valuable communities. And if you're podcasting about anything related to marketing, you absolutely want to be talking to the people on inbound.org. If you're podcasting about anything remotely related to design, you want to be talking to Designer News. If you are a cretin who likes to occupy the underbelly of the internet, you should be on Reddit. Just kidding. I love Reddit. But the thing is, you don't want to go there and spam. And different communities have different rules when it comes to self-promotion. Some communities will say, well, as long as you're not selling anything, feel free to share your work. Others, I think inbound.org is a little bit more strict on this. For example, my podcast episodes are free. But, you know, there are absolutely some folks who would kind of frown on me sharing my podcast there unless it was dead bang appropriate for the topic. So say when I did my episode with Nathan Berry, it's about email marketing. Absolutely. I'm going to post that on inbound.org. If I do another one with somebody else about, you know, something else, probably not. So it just kind of – it's a matter of knowing your communities and knowing what's appropriate for each community when you're trying to engage in your promotional work.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, we need to differentiate marketing and promotion because marketing is a more, you know, general definition because it involves different kind of formats, activities and stuff. And promotion is just purely distributing the existing thing to whoever is available. And with podcast, you know, podcast is a marketing media and promotion is what you do with episodes.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. I very often find myself getting lost in the overlap between the two. It wasn't until very recently that I would have even realized there was a difference. And I think that's probably a trap that a lot of podcasters fall into first time because you're excited. You've created this thing and it's your baby and you want everyone to hear it. And you don't really care if they want to hear it or not. By God, you're going to hear it. And that can lead to just kind of a lack of discernment when it comes to what it is that you're doing to get this thing in front of people.
Right. I've been really, really underperforming when it comes to promotion. But when it comes to the volume of work I do, like the actual marketing, which can be valuable because it's content marketing, it's pretty right. solid. I think it's better to do to overproduce and under promote than vice versa.
You know, that may be so.
But that's an interesting probably element. The recipe to success lies somewhere in between.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I would love to. I think I'm a little bit myopic in my own efforts to promote my podcast. I've got 5 or 6 places that I'll spread the word, and that's it. And I'm willing to bet that there are probably 100 that would be absolutely appropriate, that are probably populated with people who would love to hear from these founders, who would probably love to hear about the subject matter of my show. And I'm simply not aware of these places, not aware of these channels, so I'm not making use of them. That annoys me a little bit. I wish there were better discoverability. I wish there were a better way to surface potential marketing channels, potential avenues of promotion for something like a podcast or any other piece of content, really.
Right. These things, they are called watering holes by Amy Hoy and her approach, but they're not so easy to discover, like quality ones. And even if you find them, they're still not going to be like a fully promotional environment. You right. can't really get away just posting your own stuff. That's not how it works. It's going to be forums. It's going to be, you know, Hacker News with whole infrastructure.
Yeah, agreed. There's a huge element of authenticity there. For example, I pop into on Reddit, for example, I pop into our freelance pretty frequently. I pop into our podcast pretty frequently. I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm well known there, but I do frequent them organically. I'm not just typing, you know, product launching forums and then spamming whatever comes up. I'm not a member there. They don't know me. I don't know the culture. I have no business promoting my stuff there. But the places I do frequent organically, same thing with inbound.org. I turn to inbound.org. I read all sorts of stuff there so that I can learn when I have something that I feel like is appropriate to share, I do. But, you know, if I had never been to inbound.org before, I'm not going to jump on there and just start spamming links to my work. Hey, you guys, look at these awesome podcasts. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. And frankly, that's the kind of move that makes people look askance at the, you know, the entire marketing and promotions industry as a whole. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be real. And like you said, quality is another issue. I could probably find all sorts of forums that get 1 or 2 posts a month. I could probably spam those all I want because no one will ever see what I'm posting. That doesn't help me, right? So it's almost like we have to have two-way accountability. We have to make an agreement. I agree for my part to be a legitimate member of the community and to post things that are appropriate and useful. And then you, community, you agree to be, you know, active and clueful and vibrant and accepting of legitimate attempts to share information. And that's a tough arrangement to come by sometimes.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So true. One more thing I wanted to mention here, we're going to make this one a little bit longer because it's an interesting topic.
Sure.
Is leveraging the marketing power of your guests. I know it's not a recipe, it's not like golden recipe, but it certainly helps. For example, on Twitter, if you mention influencers, they're going to be certainly retweeting your stuff. So your Twitter attempts are just multiplied by the value that your guests can bring to the table.
Absolutely. I think that can be huge, depending on the show, depending on the topic, and depending on your guests. Gosh, that was a really conditional answer, wasn't it?
It is huge anyways, because this person has much more power than you do, and they're generally interested in, you know, displaying that content too.
Right, right. And I absolutely take my guest's audience into account as one piece of my marketing strategy. Now, my promotional strategy. There are people out there for whom leveraging their guest's audience is their entire strategy. That's no good. You've got to have your own people. You've got to have your own email list. You've got to have your own channels. But if you can use your guest and their network as a force multiplier to amplify your own efforts, that's a winning move. To this day, I think the largest, the most downloaded episode of my podcast is the Amy Hoy episode.
And mine the reason too. Why, mine too.
Right. And the reason why is that Amy has got a massive, massive network of people who follow her because she has meticulously built that up person by person over years of dedicated work. I think number two is Rob Walling. Same story. He's got a massive following that he's put together through years of dedicated work. Now, is one big guest or even a handful of big guests enough to make for a big podcast? No, it's not. I've had some episodes, and I'm not gonna name names on the ones that didn't perform so well. But I've had a couple of very big name guests come on the podcast, and the episode just absolutely underperforms. Not to say that it's bad, but it underperforms the average. And that always struck me as weird. But it really just depends on how engaged someone's audience is. You can have a massive audience that's very casual and not all that engaged. You can have a very small audience that's very passionate and highly engaged and every combination in between. So all of you aspiring podcasters out there, if your sole plan is to invite, you know, every business person that has 50,000 Twitter followers, you might be surprised that may not work out for you as well as you think it will.
That's so true. My only plan for marketing for the first book was, you know, interviewing like 5 influencers, and then hoping that they will tweet it out and then it's going to sell. But
did you ask for retweets or anything?
Yes, I did. But, you know, a retweet is, I mean, I didn't interview like Amy Hoy's level of people. I did interview Nathan Barry, but he was the only one who was probably, you know, moving the needle anyways.
Right.
But my little book was nothing in their big system rather than a small mention.
Sure.
Unless you have your own platform, even small one, you're right. That's not a good plan to go for.
Yeah, I agree. I found that my guests come in handy in other ways too. I mean, obviously for promoting an episode, I've had some people retweet it every day over the, you know, the 10 days until the next episode comes out. I've had some people actually put it in their newsletter. I've had some people send it out to their emailing list. A couple of people share the episode with their private communities, and that's fantastic. That all helps quite a great deal. But like you said, you've got to own your own network, and there's got to be more going on than just that. But once you get outside of your podcast, because let's all remember, your podcast is likely not an end in and of itself. Your podcast is a means to an end. And that end is eventually you're going to try to sell something to these nice folks who have been a part of your audience for so long. And when I launched my book, for example, I reached out to my podcast guests. I said, hey, you've been on my podcast. You've seen what kind of an operation I run. I wrote a book about how to run a podcast. If you feel comfortable doing so, would you please share this with your networks? Tweet it, put it on Facebook, email it, whatever. And some of them did, some of them didn't, and that's fine in either case, but it helped tremendously. It helped tremendously. I can't even tell you. I mean, between that and Product Hunt, I dare say that my own little mailing list of, at the time, 400 and some odd, it was probably an even split between the sales I got from my own list versus sales I got from Product Hunt versus sales I got from what I refer to as my extended network that I have access to via my podcast guests. All of these things play a role. There's no one thing. I often have podcasters or even freelancers looking to market their businesses who ask me, you know, what's the one thing I can do that'll make the difference, right? And the one thing is everything.
You have to do 5 things for 5 years. Yeah.
Yes. That's the one thing. And it took me a long time to figure that out. When I first started my podcast, Jane, I was still asking questions like, so what's the one thing I can do to make this show be heard? And time and time again, well, there is no one thing. You've got to pursue multiple channels. And when you see one that works, you can double down on that. And if one's not working, you can drop them, and maybe eventually you'll arrive at a place where you're only doing one thing, but you can't start out that way. You may end up that way, but But you can't start out that way because then you may never discover the channel that works for you. It's all very fuzzy. And it can sometimes be frustrating and difficult and seemingly unknowable to navigate one's way through. I still struggle with things related to marketing promotion to this day.
Absolutely. And measuring them, it can be pretty painful at first because you just look at these tiny numbers and they don't stroke your ego by any means.
Well, there was a – Gary Vee did a video about that, right? The Power of One. Isn't that
Oh, yes. I just watched it like yesterday or today.
Yeah, that's the one he's talking about, you know, doing a podcast or an interview or, you know, if there's one person watching, fine, I'm doing it. And, you know, little by little, it adds up.
Right. When I started out, I don't know, I didn't look at my metrics for the podcast, but now like the episode in the first week can get like 300 or 500 views. This is super amazing. You know, out of those, if 100 people listened to the end, which means I had access to the mind of people for the whole freaking hour. This is right. So super amazing. I mean, it's absolutely rewarding and worth the only like the every single minute of time invested into that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And the measurability is nice. I myself am really uncomfortable with the lack of predictability in marketing and promotion. But once you put some stuff out there and you can measure the response, that's huge. But there are a lot of people still hung up on trying to predict. If I'm being honest, sometimes I have days where I get frustrated and wish that I could predict things better. But you know what? This is a great example of how random everything we're talking about can be. I recently had two episodes of my podcast. One featured a very well-known entrepreneur. The other featured somebody who is in every measurable way far, far less known. And yet that episode, for whatever reason, resonated and did double the downloads in the same amount of time as the episode with the, you know, name, quote unquote, you know, name entrepreneur. Why? Well, I don't know why. I wish I did. And that's been by far the most uncomfortable thing to get accustomed to for me with marketing and promotional work is the unknowability of a lot of this. I can look at my analytics. I can tell you where a lot of that traffic came from. I can tell you what days it came in on and which days it spiked. I can tell you, you know, how much of it came from Twitter versus my list versus SEO. But I can't tell you why that particular founder's story resonated so much more strongly with the listening audience. I could email them and ask, but I don't know that the listeners would be able to articulate it even. Some of these things are simply in the amalgam of all the different pieces working together and as such are unknowable. And I've had to work very hard to become comfortable with that.
Bloggers also say that, you know, their most important favorite posts, they're almost never the most popular ones because these are two different categories.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh, that drives me crazy. When I write when I write for my blog, I've had some very unexpected articles get very big. And I've had other articles, and I'm not going to tell you which ones are which, but I've had other articles where I thought, oh man, I really did a good job on that. And nobody reads it. It's funny. This is another one where I was talking to Justin Jackson about that, and I pointed at one of his popular articles and I said, did you know that was going to be so big? And he goes, yeah, I kind of had a feeling. And I thought, how? I can't do that. I look at, for example, how to turn down freelance work gracefully. Okay. That one did really well. That one got something like 5,000 reads in the first, I don't know, day or two when I released it. I had no idea. To me, that was just filler. Yes, I'm admitting to occasionally posting filler on my blog. Get over it. You know, whereas something else, you know, maybe didn't get that kind of a response. It's just so unknowable.
Yeah. But anyways, summing up, I think it's still worth doing. And, you know, we both agree that the secret recipe is just doing 25 things for 25 years, preferably, or at least a couple years.
Or at least until there's a clear winner.
Right. And really, there is no easy win there. It all boils down to hard work, to finding something you enjoy and doing that like very, very consistently and, you know, connecting with the people who are your people, and your people are the most important thing you can have once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If all else fails, just focus on human relationships.
Right. So let's wrap up the season with you, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us for all these episodes in a row. We're eternally grateful for all your advice. Now, it's another minute of fame. Please promote your stuff here. Tell us about your book once again.
Oh, my goodness. I had forgotten all about my book just for a minute. Okay. So last year, my foray into product ended up being not a web app, but a book. And it was a book about podcasting called Record and Release, Learn How to Podcast in Just One Day. It's short. It's about 70 pages. You can consume it in an afternoon and get started on your podcast the very next day. And in this book, I've kind of codified all the lessons I've learned about running a small podcast and put it in terms that are very easy to follow and very easy to emulate. If you go to recordandrelease.com with dashes between the words, so record-and-release.com, you can buy the book there. If you are a listener of Jane's podcast, you can use the offer code UIBREAKFAST at checkout to get $10 off the regular $29 price of the book. Now, $10 may not seem like a lot, but if you need some podcast art, I want you to take that 10 bucks that I'm saving you, go to Fiverr, get yourself some podcast art. Take that $10 I'm saving you, go to Starbucks, get yourself a couple of coffees, maybe a chocolate chip cookie, get out some paper, write down some thoughts about what kind of show you want to make. Take that 10 bucks, get a nice new foam cover for your microphone that you're going to be talking into. It adds up, and just a few dollars can do a lot of good things for your podcast. And by far the best thing that a few dollars can do for your podcast is getting you my book. So record-andrelease.com, UI Breakfast as the offer code, get your 10 bucks off. And by all means, email me at chris@chasingproduct.com with any questions you may have about the book, any questions you may have about starting a show. And for God's sake, let me know when you launch your show and I'll help you promote it.
Awesome. So Chasing Product is your podcast that we've been talking about all these episodes.
Yep. And yes, indeed.
It's amazing. You can find me there too.
Yes, you can.
All right. Thank you, Chris, once again. And I hope your podcast and all your future products are a blast.
Thank you, Jane. I appreciate it. Same to you.